certainly appreciate your prayers one more time. And I feel like I have a little thought. I think it's a challenge, probably. I could say with accuracy it's probably a challenge to every one of us. I want to look again in the First Thessalonians. Verse of the fifth chapter, in these list of challenges and encouragements that Paul was giving these folks, he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, if we would all consider whether or not I've incorporated this into my life. This is very strongly stated that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That you give thanks. In everything, give thanks. So, is that a reality? You have to answer it for yourself. Of course, I can't answer that for you. But if I answer it for me, and then I place what I know about me onto you, then I'll have to say that that's probably a challenge. Because it's a challenge to give thanks. This is more than a suggestion that you and I allow circumstances go on by until we see what they're doing. This is an active place, not only, this is not just simply saying we'll wait and see the benefit in it, but this is actually stepping out in these places. This is the will of God now in Christ concerning me. That in everything I give thanks. In everything I give thanks. That is. I'm going to tell you, when you get to there, you can start saying, "I got some victory in my life," because that is a real place when it don't look like anything positive can be in a situation like this at all. But yet I've got a confidence in God. I believe in the Lord to the point that I can honestly say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this." Well, that's what it says. It reminds me of a story, maybe some of you are familiar with it. We have it on audio tape, but we all have also read the book a couple of times. The Hiding Place. Remember the story, The Hiding Place? It was the author was Corrie Ten Boom. She was a Dutch woman, young girl at the time, but it was during the German occupation of Holland, and her family was involved in hiding Jews away, and so they got caught for doing that, and so her and her sister was sent to a camp, a concentration camp, and it was the situations was really, really poor in there. And Corrie believed in the Lord and her life was about the Lord, but Corrie hadn't reached the level that Betsy, her sister, had. Betsy had more of a spiritual mind about things. It was easier, it seemed, for Betsy to get a hold of things and believe. Well, they was in these bad places, and so Betsy says to Corrie over and over about these things, "Corrie, let's thank the Lord. Give the Lord thanks. In everything we're to give thanks," she would say to Corrie. And Corrie would say, "Betsy, how can you possibly expect me to give thanks for this? This is what the Lord wants you to do. And Betsy would say things like, because they was able to keep their little Bible, they had smuggled it in, and they was able to keep it. And Betsy's mind was, glory, the Lord has kept us this, and what an opportunity we have to share God's love in the gospel. He brought us to this place. Let's thank the Lord for this place. And we're sharing the gospel and the good news with these other women, and they're getting souls help. And it was really hard, for Corey to get that. But she finally seemed to be coming around that, well, maybe there was a purpose in it. And finally they get moved to this place, and it had fleas. There was fleas in there. And when she seen the fleas, she said, this goes too far. This is just, I can't take these fleas. And Betsy said, Corey, in everything give thanks. And she said, Betsy, you've gone too far. Now, I know you've went too far with this. I can see it, but that's kind of the way she was at. I can see giving thanks, but for fleas, I am not giving thanks for fleas. I'm not doing it. But Corey, in everything, give thanks. Let's thank God for the fleas. I'm not giving thanks for fleas. This says that this is the will of God. You know what kind of a beautiful grace that thanksgiving is to God? I want you to think about something. God owns the whole universe. The air you're breathing right now is God's. We are only visitors in God's world. He created us. The food that we had a while ago was God's food. It wouldn't be here if it wasn't for His designing it, making it, and allowing it to grow. He gives it the increase. It's God's. It's God's earth. It's God's things. It's God's air. Everything is God's, and He is a gracious host to let us live here. We ought to be thankful in everything. In everything, give thanks. The fact that we have what we have, we ought to be thankful. But it goes beyond that. Because as Christians, we have the understanding and the great privilege to live for a God that loves us supremely. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe God loves you?
Yes.
If God loves you, I'm going to use a little logic here, but if God loved you enough to send His only begotten Son,
yes,
then to die for us, and if Jesus loved us enough that He willingly took on the job that the Father gave Him to come and die for us, if you can believe, if you can take on and believe that He loved you that much, can you believe that He would leave you in a place that you would lose out? Do you believe He would love you that much, but yet make a system that you couldn't prosper in? It wouldn't make sense, would it? If you can grasp and get a hold of the idea that He died because He loved us and wanted to save us, then you have to take that same idea all the way through your life and say, His love extends to fleas too. I don't understand all of what the Lord might do in life, with my life, or what I need and all those kind of things. But I can't erase the idea that if He loved me enough to die for me, He loves me still. If He loved me enough to do that initially and die on that cross, then He loves me still in 2017. He's still loving me. And when I feel undone, when I feel like things are going not my way and that things are that, I still have to believe this fact. He still loves me. And He's still in control of all of these things. Well, Corey couldn't thank the Lord for fleas. But Betsy did. She thanked them for the fleas. And you know what they found? And as the story went on and unfolded, what they found out was they had perfect liberty in there to study their Bible. They had Bible studies and they had perfect liberty to do it. And the guards in other places would come in and check them out. The guards wouldn't come into there. They always just come to the door and they wouldn't come in. And they finally figured out that the great liberty they had is because they had fleas. And the guards wouldn't go in there because they didn't want fleas. So they wouldn't go in. So it was the fleas that the Lord used to protect them and give them the freedom to worship God and get their souls right. Yeah, they got bit by fleas. But the fleas kept the guards away. And God used that, and finally they find out the reason of it, and Corey's got to eat her words and say, God was right again. It's worthy to be thanked. Thank you, Lord, for that. But there seems to be an experience to where you and I would accept the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. This is the will of God to us, that we're a people that will thank God for everything. In every situation that we can find ourselves thankful. Thank you, Lord, for this trial that I'm going. Can we say thank you for this trial? I wouldn't want a trial. I don't look to trials. I wouldn't choose them for me. I'm just going to tell you, I'm a coward. I don't like pain. I wouldn't do it. But I'll say this. The most prosperous times in my spiritual experience has been when the Lord allowed me to go through something that I wouldn't have chose to go through. I remember particularly one night, I was really tired. I hadn't been sleeping well, or for some reason I'd been up, and I can remember thinking, this is going to be really nice tonight. It was a winter's night, and I thought, I am looking forward to bedtime. I am tired. It's going to be nice to go lay down. I thought that I needed a good night's sleep. That's what I thought I needed. I can feel my body pretty well, and I thought I needed to get to sleep, and this is going to be nice. And at about 10 o'clock, about the time things start winding down around my place, and children is going around playing, I don't even remember which one of them it was now, but it really doesn't matter. They've all done things like this. But they're just going along, and all of a sudden, they just stop, throw up in the floor. Just throw up. Well, that come on awful sudden. Went over there, and their fever just hit like that. They're playing, all of a sudden, up chucking the floor, over there, their fever, up on, little, up all night. And you know what? I didn't sleep that night. I packed around the sick child all night. Had him in my arms, here and there. I noticed something about him too. I don't know why it has to be this way, but it just is. They can sleep just as long as I'm uncomfortable. If I get comfortable, they can't sleep. And that's just, I'm telling you, if I sit there holding them like this and I get completely uncomfortable, completely hurting, my arms are aching, my burning, all that, they can sleep like that. But as soon as I relax out and get into a comfortable thing, they're going to wake up. So I just know that don't move. Just there. And it's like hours of this heading is just like this with the children. And I did this, and I prayed. I was with the Lord instead of sleeping. I was with the Lord. I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed through the night, and I prayed. What else is there to do? I prayed all night long, and the child finally okay in the morning, and I lay the child, and I was up all night long. I was wore completely out in my body. But you know what a night with the Lord's like? I'm going to tell you, there was such a peace in my soul. The next morning, I thought, the Lord visited me last night. So I can say, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for that little sickness that come by. Thank the Lord for being uncomfortable. Thank the Lord for the things. Because Jesus still loves me. And He still cares for me. Now I think it's impossible to really be able to do, to be able to be successful with this idea if it wasn't for a scripture in Romans 8 and 28. Does Romans 8 and 28 say anything to anybody? If there's ever a scripture that I had quoted to me, it's Romans 8, 28. In the times and the severe trials of my life, everybody knows Romans 8, 28. I got it over and over. It was like for a while, all day long, if somebody would call, and you can't get away from it, even if you after the phone call, you go to the mailbox, you open, oh, someone send me a card. You know what's in the card? Romans 8:28's in there. You know, I love the scriptures and all, but there was one time I was saying, Lord, I'm having to deal with this. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. It's over and over. It's true. And it says, and we know. And boy, we should. We should know. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. This is a, listen, it would be hard to fulfill the will of God concerning us if we didn't believe wholeheartedly in Romans 8:28. The reason why that we should be able to give thanks, and I'm not, this is not passive. This isn't the idea I'll wait and see. This is audible. This is literal. I'm thankful, Lord, for this. This is the will of God that I be thankful for what the Lord does in my life. Lord, I am thankful for this that's coming my way. Lord, help me. I'm not claiming that I can always be there, but I can recognize that this is the will of God concerning me, that I be thankful as God's creation to a God that is bigger than I am, that's better than I am, that can work everything in my life. But this is Romans 8:28. And we know. That what things? All things work together. For me to try to look at something and say that it's good when it's not doesn't work. That's not what it's saying. It isn't saying that it's good. It might be bad. It might be people's bad intentions. I wouldn't say it was good if people had bad intentions. I think it's bad if people's got bad intentions. But it's good in the sense that it'll work together. For good. For my life. Adam Clark wrote, I don't remember if I wrote that down or not. Maybe I didn't. Oh, prosperity and adversity. Prosperity and adversity will be equally helpful to you. That's what his idea was. Of all things work together for good. That prosperity I accept for working good. But he said, and adversity will work equally well for you. Now I had two different events in my life that worked for me that I really said, Lord, how gracious you are and how good. There was one time particularly that I felt very, I felt like I wasn't driving towards the Lord. I felt like that I was more wandering in my spirit. I didn't feel like I had the drive I used to have. I didn't feel the need. And I felt that. And I pulled in, I had this, my station wagon. I pulled into this, oh, there was a number of stores there. And I pulled in. And actually, me and one of the younger brothers went to get the gospel truck. And he was driving the gospel truck, and I was driving the station wagon. Well, when we got there, I told him I was going to go on, and he went on towards home. But I pulled in there, and it was a Christian bookstore there, and everything was closed. And so when I went to back out, I didn't pay attention. Now, I tell my children this when I'm teaching them to drive, and I know this, and I've drove a long time, and I know better, that when you're backing up, you watch your front end. You have to watch where you're going, but your front end will swing on you if you're not careful. And I know better than this, but I didn't pay attention, and I swung the front end around and knocked a gas meter off of its pipe. Knocked it slick off. I mean, knocked it rolling off. And this gas is just, I mean, it sounded like a jet plane this thing went off. Well, I was glad that I didn't get that old car stuck on there with all the sparks and stuff. It is a Shirley Blue Sky High. But I backed off of there, and this is going like a jet plane, and I jumped out, and I was frantic, because in my mind, that's a lot of gas. Ting, 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 ting. I mean, and I went to run and try to find somebody. I couldn't already find. So finally, I run around the building and told them, and I said, well, we'll call, and they called. And I'm coming around there, and this is over in Elkins, so there's this, and just all of a sudden, there's this big siren goes off. Here comes the fire trucks and all. It was such a big deal. I'm like, oh, what's this? And here they come, and I'm thinking all this. I felt so helpless. It was nothing. I was in a situation I couldn't do anything about it. Frantically thinking something needs to be done, and I couldn't do anything. Well, there's this young guy comes over there, and he said, "Yeah, I knocked that off." And this, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, maybe we can stop it." And he gets up on top of it, standing there. He's like on 1 foot, standing on his pipe, and the gas is coming out beside these feet like this. And I know he's breathing it, and I'm like saying, "He probably shouldn't breathe that stuff," and it's coming out. He might have liked breathing it. I don't know. He was having a time. I was worried about him. You know, a little bit, they come up there, and this guy gets big deal. Fire trucks and all this. And this fireman gets out, and he's got a toolbox. He comes over there and sets his toolbox down. He opens the toolbox up, and he gets out. The only thing in the toolbox was a hammer and a wooden stake. And he comes over there and puts that wooden stake in there and hits it on that, drives it down in and stops it. And I said, "That's it? That's the way we do it." He said, "We'll call the fire." They called the gas company. And I stayed there. I was going to be responsible. I'm saying all this for a purpose. It's always bad. All the incidences are bad. But it all worked good. It got me to saying, "Lord, I really need you. Lord, I really need help. I'm praying the whole time. Lord, help me. Help us get this done." You know what the Lord did? The gas people come there, and I said, "Well, how do I make it right?" They come and cut the gas off there, and I said, "How do I make this right?" And I said, "That was a lot of gas." And he said, "Well, we wouldn't know how much because you knocked the meter off." I said, "Do I pay for this?" And said, "No, there's nothing to pay. We don't know what you did." I said, "Well, I pay for it." No pay. Well, thank the Lord. I called my insurance and tell them, and they covered me knocking the meter off. I never paid anything. But the Lord is able to take care of things for us. The Lord wanted to get my attention. So he got my attention. And I was very thankful for that. Thank you for what you're doing. But we can go beyond that, because we can get into a place, folks, living for the Lord, that our faith can ascend the problems. You believe in God? You believe in that story of that one on the cross? Do you believe in the power of God? You believe that He was able to heal the blind? I mean, do you really believe that that leper was healed? Do you believe that the lame man really did jump up and walk and leap and shout? Do you really believe that he fed 5,000 with a little fishes, a couple of little fishes? And do you really believe that, son? Because if you do believe that, you can also believe that he is still working for us, and that no matter what comes our way, it's going to be good. It is going to be good, and we can thank God for the adversities as much as the prosperities. As they come, we don't have to wait to have the testimony at the end of it. This is the will of God concerning us, that we thank Him in everything. And what a testimony it is to those around, of a people that really believe in God, when we thank the Lord for the things that happen in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for that. I was working one time, and we was going down the hill, and me and a buddy, and he was one of those challenging individuals to your faith. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, everybody gets one in a lifetime. I had one. And going down the hill, and I tripped and fell down. I had a bucket of paint. It wasn't open, thank the Lord, but I fell down through these bunch of rocks. And when I stopped rolling, I said, "Well, thank the Lord." And he looked at me and said, "Thank the Lord? What are you thanking the Lord for?" And I said, "Well, you're supposed to give thanks in everything, and this is a thing. So I give thanks to the Lord." And he said, "I never heard of no such thing." And I said, "Well," I said, "hey, I didn't break anything. So thank the Lord. I mean, it could have been worse, so thank the Lord." He said, "I never heard anybody thank the Lord for falling in some rocks." Well, I believe in God, so I thank the Lord for it. wasn't any great purpose come out of it unless he got to hear me say, thank the Lord. I don't know about everything, but the Scripture says, this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. To be thankful. Thank God for everything. Thank God for the situations that we have in life. Is it possible? I know this is a higher place, but folks, listen. We know that we're not going to live here forever. We know that. And God has the perfect way to take us out of here for us. He's got the perfect system set up. Is it possible that we can get to the place that we can say, thank you, Lord? One writer said that death was his best friend next to Jesus Christ. Why? He said, because it's what's going to unite me with the Lord. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that I get to experience it because it's going to usher my eternal soul to my Savior. I'm not claiming to be so big, but that's challenging to me. I'm going to have to live here and I'm going to have to get through it. I want to have victory while I'm here. I want to have victory in that. I want to be able to... The Apostle Paul was a real man. And he said it. He said, I'm in a straight betwixt two. For it's far better off for me to go on and be with the Lord. But it's more needful for you that I stay here. But I would rather go on and be for the Lord, with the Lord. I thank the Lord for what He would bring in those ways. It's a high place, sure. But it's the will of God concerning us. Now, there was a man in the Scriptures. We're all familiar with this story. There was a man in the Scriptures, a young man, that was different than his brothers in many ways. And I'm not putting myself on the same level as Joseph. But you know, I just happen to be somebody that just got the privilege, if you will, of being different. I used to always say, I'm not looking to be important. I'm not looking to be outstanding. I just want to be normal. Because I didn't feel like I was normal. I used to say, you get to live one life and I got to be this way. This is what I say. I was extra small for my age. I grew up really, really slow. I weighed 87 pounds when I started high school. And I grew real slow in those years too. I was short. I was small. I was freckle-faced and orange-haired. You know how many percentage of the people have orange hair? Not very much. And I used to say, why me? Why me? I can look around this community. I got all these friends. I have my whole class in school. Nobody else had hair like mine. Nobody. Nobody was this. I was the shortest, the smallest, and orange hair. I had all of these things that seemed to be like I had to be different. I had to struggle with these things. All these kind of things about that. And never seen a purpose or never seen an idea or how could this ever prosper. There was a man named Joseph. His brothers didn't have dreams like he did. He didn't interpret dreams like he did. He got the privilege of being different. I don't know that he had a problem with that altogether, but he was different than the other ones were. He couldn't help them saying, I know what that means. They tell a dream, or they interpreted a dream. I had a dream. This was my dream. I had a dream, Dad. I had a dream. I had a dream where the stars all give homage to me and the moon and the sun. Well, you're saying I'm going to too? I mean, I didn't mean to say that. I'm just telling you my dream. None of your other sons told you the dreams because they don't have those dreams. I only told you the dream. I have the dream. I don't want to be made different like that. But he was made different. Special in some sense. God had a purpose that he foresaw. So he had a young man named Joseph that he wanted to fulfill his purpose in. And you would think, well, if God had a purpose in you, you should sit on the throne and you should ride around in good cars, or you should at least have a good chariot ride, and your brothers should all like you. Instead, they all didn't like him. Because God had a purpose in his life, they didn't like him. Not only that, they threw him into a well because they didn't like him. And acted like that he had died. Remember, took his coat of many colors and took it back and put blood on it, and acted like he had died. They put him in there. They was going to kill him too. But one of the old ones said, no, let's not do that and have blood on our hands. Let's sell him. So they sold their brother. That's been done bad. That's why you got to give thanks. Sometimes it gets better before it gets worse.
or it gets worse before it gets better. Sometimes it gets a lot worse before it gets better. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse for Joseph. But the will of God is that we be thankful. So, he's on a ride now, and he's on a caravan ride down to Egypt. Well, maybe things will get better down there. The Lord was with him. Historians say that Joseph was a very handsome man. And he was very intelligent. And so when he got down there, it was obvious that someone would want his abilities. So, who was it? Potiphar? Was that his name? He took him on. Who wouldn't want a young man like that? So he was sold and Potiphar got him. And things will look up now. He was well respected for his ability. He was a very honorable person. So he was in there. And it didn't get better. And now along comes Potiphar's wife. Of all the places to run into somebody like that, Joseph gets to run into that. This is still, folks, in the design of God. God was going to deliver the whole nation of Israel through this way. He was going to have a plan there that Joseph was going to fulfill, and even though he didn't fulfill it, and God is likely to do that in your life without telling you what the end of it is to lead you to His purpose without you knowing what the purpose is. He wants us to be faithful and He wants us to be thankful for what God can do. And really, if you want to get down to the very root bottom idea of what faith is, it's being able to be thankful. Truly thankful. When things don't look thankworthy. It's really having faith in the God that we serve. That's faith. So Joseph goes to Potiphar, and you remember the story. She thought he was good looking too, makes a move on him. Joseph runs out of there. She grabs his clothes, runs out without the clothes, and she needs an excuse. She makes up a lie, tells her husband, has to say something, so she tells a lie, and now he's in trouble again. And who? I want to know if there was one person in the whole land that would have believed that young man's story. I don't think so. And if that situation would arise, we all probably would have believed that Joseph, yeah, that's the way nature usually is, and we'd have probably believed it that way. And Joseph now is in trouble again. And now, instead of being down in Egypt, at least being serving outside, now he's got to be in the jail. He's in the dungeon now, and it went from worse to worse, and now he's there, and how can anybody say that's good? But God still had a purpose in it all. And I'll say this, as Brother Sammons used to say, when you get into that kind of stuff, he used to tell us, I see him coming down the road, he'd say. In his vision, in his prayer, he said, I see the Lord coming. You hang on, the Lord's on his way. That was always encouraging to get that thought in my mind, the Lord's coming. The Lord's got a plan. So, Joseph's in prison. Now, what is he going to do? What's the purpose, Lord? What's the purpose? Through all this, I think Joseph was faithful. But what's the purpose? Well, he runs into a couple there that has dreams. Well, that's his specialty. You tell me your dreams, I'll tell you what the answer of them is. They tell the dreams, he told them the answer. Told the one, he said, they're going to lift your head off. The other one, he said, you'll be restored back. And the one that was going to be restored back, he said, when you get restored back, you remember me. There wasn't no need to say anything to the other fellow. But to him, you remember me. Well, he got that restored back. Sister Mary forgot. Oh, don't blame him too much. It had to be the Lord. If the Lord would have wanted him to be remembered, he would have remembered him, wouldn't he? The Lord's time wasn't developed yet, so the man forgot what he was going to. You know, we blame one another. We blame one another sometimes. Don't blame one another so much. Don't blame one another at all. Thank God. Thank God it'll come around to you. Well, so-and-so didn't shake my hand. Well, I don't know who you are that you think your hand ought to be shook, but if you do think your hand ought to be shook, at least take it this way. Take it to God's in it. And when He wants your hand shook, you'll send somebody to shake it. Well, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Well, maybe they're just busy like I am and they didn't think anything about shaking my hand. I like to say to somebody, well, they didn't shake my hand. I say, well, then you shook theirs.
You shook theirs, but they didn't shake back. Is that the way it worked? No, didn't shake theirs either. Well, they're probably saying, he didn't shake my hand. How about if we just say, thank the Lord. I haven't got anything against you but loving you. That's all I got against you. But if I'm off in la-la land in my mind sometimes, you all have mercy on me. Don't mean a thing by it. I actually went to places before and said, what am I doing here? I don't think anybody even knows that I'm here. You get those kind of feelings. You know, I actually had in my mind, didn't accuse outwardly, but in my mind, I thought somebody I was trying to talk, come up to them, and we're usually just really, you know, good to see. I haven't seen you for a while, and come up, and it was kind of, they was kind of, oh, and this, and I'm trying to tell them something, and they're this and this, and they don't care what I say. Obviously, they don't care what I say. Found out later they had a hard thing on them and they were struggling with it. Well, shame on me. Well, we ought to just be more, thank the Lord. Lord, whatever you got coming my way. Well, Joseph's in prison now. He tells that guy in a period of time, he's still down there. But there comes a time where the Lord sends the Pharaoh a dream. And now the dream needs interpreting and nobody can tell him what it means. And finally, the guy that was restored back, the butler or the baker, whichever one was the baker right then, said, hey, wait a minute. I just remembered something. I just remembered that there's a guy down there in the prison that knows how to do that kind of stuff. That wasn't just chance. That's God. And so we all know the story. He comes back and he must have been awfully convincing. And the Pharaoh must have said, that's right. Because he said, I need somebody that's going to run this thing. And you're the man. And now Joseph ascends from the hatred of his brothers in a well. He ascends to second in the land and rules over all the dealings of the Pharaoh in Egypt. What an ascension that God had to take him through a valley, had to take him through a place to get him to the mountain. It was the will of God concerning him. Folks, God is wanting to raise us all up to kings and priests. He wants to raise us up to a thing. You know how you get there? By being thankful. You know what one of the signs of the evil approaching day is? Unthankful and unholy. In the last day, people will be unthankful. And I want to tell you, without detail, I think this is one of the most unthankful generations ever. It is just so unthankful. People just think more and more and gimme and don't appreciate what we have. The poorest person in the land lives better than kings used to. We have hot water. We have electric. We have all this. We got the comforts of bed. We got those kind of stuff. We're not living in a dark castle with a moat around it either. Everybody's got a bed. And I know there's poor people and that kind of stuff. But what amount of food there is in this country. What amount of ability to travel and to go. There's no king that could get up to death. I marvel sometimes. I get up at my house, and this is not flying. This is driving. I can get up from my house in West Virginia early in the morning, in the summertime anyway, at daylight, and before it gets dark, I can be in Neosho, Missouri. This king couldn't go like that. We should be thankful. The story of Joseph is a perfect story for us to understand the will of God concerning the things that look negative in our lives. And the ability for God to raise up through those kind of things. So in all things, in everything, this is the will of God. And if you can find the exception, you'll have to make them for yourself. I ain't sure I can come up today with an exception for you. That where you can say, this is an exception. Corey tried it with the fleas and it didn't work. But if you got one that you can say, I think this is an exception right here, that I, in the will of God, that I be thankful. I don't think you'll come up with one. Because He's the master of it all and He wants you and I to be thankful. I think, to me, this is a great challenge because there's things coming into my life that that on the first note, I say when it happens, it isn't my first response to say that I'm thankful for it.
But I think this is a place to where you and I realize that He loved us enough to die for us. And the things that He's allowing into our lives are only made beneficial. And if we only had a diet of prosperity, we would become spoiled and indifferent to the needs of God. So mixed in with the prosperities is the Scripture even says, "I would that you be that you prosper and be in health." Even as your soul prospers. And the trouble is we're going to have to prosper our soul, and sometimes it needs the negative aspects for us to be able to really realize how needy we are or what we need in life and those kind of things. So we can honestly say today, thank God for what He allows into our lives. Thank the Lord for the trials. Thank the Lord for the adversities. Thank the Lord for persecution. Hey, does anybody lack temper, patience? You want to be more patient? You ever ask the Lord, help me with my patience? There is a prescription for that. I went through the line one time. It was a grocery store line. The woman at the register says, thank you for patiently waiting. Well, I was acting very patient. And she said, well, thank you for patiently waiting. And I said, oh, I'm just waiting. Well, I needed a little bit more patience inside than I was putting outside. But you know, there is a prescription for getting more. It's called tribulation. It works. Patience. It doesn't work to those that don't believe or to those that don't allow it, but to those that want patience, there's a prescription. It's called tribulation. And the Lord will be faithful. The Lord will allow you to be as patient as you dare, but it'll come through having to endure the hardships of it. But you can be made better by it. And that's why, ultimately, the only reason why that we can say and should say, in all things give thanks, is because it will work to our eternal good. Eternally, I'll be made better. And the way God chooses to work in our lives, sometimes get the dross out, work with fire, all those things, He brings the things that's most uncomfortable to us, very challenging to us. And that's why we should say, thank you, Lord, for helping me out in this situation. If you're not desiring heaven, it won't work. If you don't believe Romans 8:28, it won't work. But if you want to go to heaven, and you believe that all things work together for good, then in all things you can say, thank you, Lord, for that. I can look back at my life, to be honest with you. I can look back at my life, and if the Lord would let me live again, which I've said to many people, if I had a chance to go back to be a teenager, I definitely would decline it. I wouldn't mind having my body, my joints a little more less stiff and a little more limber. But I definitely wouldn't want to go through the mental struggles I did at teenager's years. No way. I went through that. I will keep what I got. But if I had the opportunity to live another life, it wouldn't be as a short, skinny, freckle-faced little redhead, orange-haired little boy. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't choose it. But as I look back to what God was able to do through that, this is the way it always works with me, as soon as I get to the point that I don't care, I'm not orange-haired anymore. I dealt with all the adversity of it, my hair started changing colors, and by the time I didn't care, I didn't have orange hair. That's just the way it was. And by the time I didn't care that I was skinny, I wasn't skinny anymore. I don't fight skinny anymore. I fight the other way now. And I am fairly short. I'm 5'9", but that's not overly short. Once I grew up to that, was to the point I didn't care how tall I was. And then I was tall enough that I didn't. But that's the way it always works. But I look back and I'll say this. I think that all of it built something in me. Even when I wasn't saved, I think these kind of things, being able to look back at it, it taught me some things that's been very valuable in my life. So I can say, even for that, I thank God for it. And now I can have empathy. I can deal with people that have those kind of, and I can help them and have something for them because I understand those kind of things. So God has a purpose in all that we do. But for God to use us the way He does, choose us into different things, that's His business. It's the will of God. You want to know what the will of God is for you? So, well, hey, tell me what the will of God is for me. I can tell you what the will of God is for you. It's that you give thanks for everything. Because that's what the Scripture says. You pray for me. I want to be faithful. Also, I want to thank you all for letting us come down here again. It's been a blessing to us.